why she's anti-Semitic. Maybe she's completely and totally surrounded by anti-Semites. Maybe she goes to a mosque with an anti-Semitic leader. I mean, I can make any number of assumptions about her, good or bad, but I think it's dangerous to make assumptions and then use those assumptions to engage in a very destructive emotion like hate. I mean, we better be getting it right when we hate people. Just, I mean, oh, God. I mean, then you're no better than her. I mean, if you make bullshit assumptions about her, if you get her really, really wrong, then you're no better than her if you hate her. Right? Like, what we don't like about what she's doing is that she's making false negative assumptions about people that the... likely, you know, potentially in an exception proves the rule kind of logic. We don't know. But if we apply compassion, if we take her dilemma into account, I'm going to read from Fieri again. The oppressed suffer from the duality which has established itself in their innermost being. They discover that without freedom, they cannot exist authentically. Yet, although they desire authentic existence, they fear it. They are at one and at the same time themselves and the oppressor, whose contradictions they have internalized. So I'm suggesting, you know, we can, instead of assuming that she's just making this ridiculously ignorant choice to be anti-Semitic in the face of no particular context for that, at a minimum she's internalizing conflict. I mean, that is a conflicted position. We can all agree on that. I mean I was challenged by Yuri in that, you know, she's a hypocrite. Absolutely. But the problem is we're all hypocrites. Like, we all use trash like it's going out of style. I mean, the future generations are going to think we were ridiculously hypocritical by saying we support the environment and yet consuming so much trash. And so we all can easily fall into that hypocritical, you know, turning a blind eye to our own actions that are inconsistent with our beliefs. So she's clearly internalizing this inconsistency. The conflict lies in the choice between being wholly themselves or being divided, ejecting the oppressor within or not ejecting him, between human solidarity or alienation, between following prescriptions or having choices, between being spectators or actors, between acting or having the illusion of acting through the action of the oppressors, between speaking out or being silent, castrated in their power to create and recreate, in their power to transform the world. This is the tragic dilemma of the oppressed, which their education must take into account. So what I'm suggesting is that we take this into account, not to accept her anti-Semitism. We would never, ever do that. We always reject the anti-Semitism, but we never reject her. So we inform our hate, we apply reason to our hate, we think about all the reasons that it's not a good idea to indulge and engage in that highly personally destructive emotion of hate, and we do that, we pull that back by rationalizing, well, she's clearly in this tragic dilemma, and let's take that into account when we decide not to hate her. So Sunzi again. When we see good, then diligently, this is in chapter 2 of the ancient Chinese philosopher Sunzi, which I have a really hard time pronouncing because it's spelled X-U-N-Z-I, Basic Writings, chapter 2. When you see good, then diligently examine your own behavior. When you see evil, then with sorrow look into yourself. When you find good in yourself, steadfastly approve it. When you find evil in yourself, hate it as something loathsome. He who comes to you with censure is your teacher. He who comes to you with approbation is your friend. He who flatters you is your enemy. Therefore, the gentleman honors as his teacher, draws close as his friends, but heartily hates his enemies. He loves good untiringly and can accept reprimand and take warning from it. Therefore, though he may have no particular wish to advance, how can he not help but do so? Right? So what we need to do, we need to employ this conscious activity. When we see parts of ourselves that are good, we need to dwell on those. We need to look upon the parts of ourselves that are bad with sorrow, just like we look on her with sorrow. I mean, let's be sorrowful for the anti-Semitism. Be hypervigilant about controlling that so that it doesn't get out of hand, and engage in the conscious activity. I'm sorry, not the conscious activity. Engage in the attempt to engage in the transforming action of doing something about it instead of just writing her off as hopeless. Let's maintain our hope and try to figure out a way to overcome her anti-Semitism rather than just, again, assuming that it's an unchangeable position of hers. We all get to be wrong sometimes. Stephen's wrong. It happens. Let's see. Let's go back to the conversation with Stephen, though. So one of the things he said that I thought was funny was that I had initially been frustrated because he said that, you know, he made that comment that I've heard people say before, which is, well, you know, now I know, you know, which ones of my friends research the memes and which one of my friends just forward memes without researching them. And I said to him, I could have been nicer. I should have been nicer. I was a little bit too upset at first. I said, are you kidding? Who has time to research every meme? I'm not, like, this Facebook is not, oh my God, you guys, I'm so sorry. I had my phone out to look at the freaking comment from Steve, and I got a bunch of texts, and that totally just threw me off. So I am so sorry. That just happened, and now I'm thrown off. So I had said, look, this is Facebook. This is not the venue. I'm not a journalist. I'm not going to, if what you need from me is a disclaimer on my Facebook page that says none of these memes have been independently researched by me and you should take them as such, that seems fair. I mean, it's Facebook. This isn't a newspaper. I'm not a newspaper. What I posted at the top, it's not her selfie. Again, it's a photograph of her taking a selfie of herself, but it's not her selfie. And at the top, it says, epic troll when you stop at an anti-Muslim rally for a selfie. Right? I mean, I think that that is an appropriate action to take against oppressive elements of society. And I think we are desperate for a pedagogy. We are desperate for an action plan. Nobody has that. I think it's important to emphasize what we can do that's appropriate and safe and nonviolent. And I disagree that this is an invitation to violence. that doesn't seem like a fair representation of just taking a photograph. I mean, that's been one of the nice things about the advances in technology. Let's see. But I still don't have time to research all of it. And I don't think it's fair to expect that of me. And I think, you know, I don't get it. I don't think that's what it's really about for Stephen. I think it's really about something else. But I thought it was funny then at the end of the thread, he says to me, because I quoted him, Fieri, of course, and tried to make my case for not hating her and why we shouldn't hate her. But look, when you're arguing with somebody, don't make assumptions. If you don't know something for sure is true, I wouldn't try to blast somebody in an argument with that with that assumption, because you look ridiculous. So one of the things Stephen said to me was, well, you know, you claim you don't have time to research these memes, but then you ran around doing all these all this research to prove your point. Well, no, I didn't. I didn't run around doing any research. I got up off my couch, went to my purse, pulled my copy of Pedagogy of the Oppressed out of my purse, sat back down on the couch, and then spit out the quote. I mean, I just for him to just engage in that kind of, anyway, all right. So, that's just my tip to you. When you're arguing with somebody, don't make assumptions about them. Like, for example, don't assume that they had to do some research to be intelligent. So, we are going to take a 10-minute break for the breaker, and we will get back to you soon. We'll be right back.
from around the world with Buell's passionate and down-to-earth delivery. In an age of personal music delivery systems, J.D. Buell carries on the values of progressive FM radio when a listener could actually have a relationship with a programmer, someone who would create an eclectic musical environment wherein both listener and host find fulfillment. The Morning Train with J.D. Buell, Wednesday, 10 to noon on MutinyRadio.fm. Freeform radio for free minds.
Do you need an awesome and underground space for an event? Look no further than MutinyRadio.fm. Our 30-seat flexible space can accommodate your acoustic band, birthday party, comedy show, dance party, karaoke super fun, theater event, fundraiser. If you think it, we can do it. You run the door and promotion, we run the sound, space, and podcast. Rentals available Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday from 8 to 10 at Mutiny Radio FM's performance space at 2781 21st Street in the Deep Mission at 21st in Florida. Contact Pam at pamsadai@hotmail.com for more options and booking dates. Incredible socialist prices so you can be creative in a free speech space without breaking the bank. That's Mutiny Radio Rentals every Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday from 8 to 10. Book your event now.
Trying to hurt me, but boy, how it burns me whenever she touched me. And oh, I feel so lucky. Oh.
Well, hey there, San Francisco. If you're looking for some delicious late-night food, I suggest you mosey on down to Bender's Bar. Inside, you can find Counter Offer, offering you amazing late-night food and snacks. Try the chicken biscuit. It's like your stomach's in a tasty tornado. They have exceptionally great daily ground sustainable burgers with sides of tater tots, grilled asparagus, and delicious zucchini. And creamy-licious mac and cheese. You like tacos? They got them. And from the specials, very deep fried fish sandwich to a stoner burger with a donut bun. What are those crazy potheads gonna come up with next? Go to the Counter Offer inside of Blender's Bar at 800 South Van Ness Avenue, San Francisco. Is located between 19th Street and 20th Street in the Mission District. Open 7 nights a week from 5 to 10 p.m. or later. Counter Offer, son!
This is dog's
Subliminal SF brings you visual and auditory mind control. For the best graphic design, physical merchandise, and live music promotion, go to www.subliminalsf.com and check out their hilarious t-shirts and super cool bands at clubs and bars all over the Bay Area. Subliminal SF creates amazing flyers, posters, and design for every need. So go now to www.subliminalsf.com and experience what this wonderful local business has to offer.
Oh, happy hour. What could be happier than 23 comics doing jokes for each other and at a radio listening audience? Puppets, kittens, unicorns, porn maybe? Oh, well, Stage Shine makes them happy, and this super happy comedy open mic is open every Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. But you can also listen anytime by downloading the podcast at Mutiny Radio FM Index at
podcasts.pcrcollective.org.
So come live or listen later or to every happy hour mic Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. at Radio FL Mutiny Radio. I just fucked that up again. What the fuck is wrong with me?
Yeah!
You got it. I got it.
Billy Bob.
You ever want to be funny?
Well, my dogs think I'm funny, Daryl.
Well, I mean, you ever want to be, like, in front of an audience? Like, other than, like, squirrels, dogs, and dead persons?
Oh, shoot. From time to time, I've given it a thought or two.
You know, if you go to Joke Workshop, there's more than two peoples paying attention to your jokes, and they ain't even gonna be jerks about it.
Daryl, are you serious? I can get people to listen to my jokes?
And they'll even say nice things to you before they tell you how to get improvements.
No way. What is this dag-nabbit thing called?
It's Joke Workshop.
Joke Workshop?
Yep, every Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. on the Mutant Radius.
So you're saying I could tell my jokes every Monday from 6 to 8?
That's what I'm saying. It's the Joke Workshop Mondays, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Mutant Radius. Yahoo!
good. Okay. I mean, no one got hit by a bus, but
Tess would still
watch it. Pretty good.
I could throw that in there somewhere.
Get those bus fans.
Yeah, my bus shot already happened. If you're ever in Wicked Grounds.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Go in the bathroom.
Okay.
In the light box.
Okay.
The mirror in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Or the light box in the bathroom. That's the X-ray of my arm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I'm going to have to go check that out.
Check it out. That's early on.
I'm definitely going to have to go see that.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Wicked Grounds is a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. You guys should check that out.
Wait, I do want to ask you, what's your favorite coffee, San Francisco coffee?
I like stuff. I like beans from Rwanda.
Okay. Nice.
And I'm...
Rwanda's good. I don't like Ethiopian. It's too blueberry-ish.
I'm enthralled with the process.
Yeah.
You know, the warm cup.
Hell yeah.
The white filters and the timed.
Yep. And the perfect temperature and the, yeah. Coffee's fun.
Hey, man. You guys are the experts. We're going to actually have to cut it off because we're at 12 p.m. 12:01. But thank you guys so much for listening. Morgan, thank you for doing the bonus shenanigans.
Thank you.
I'm going to go ahead and hit stop. And then Tess is going to play some other shenanigans. And then, you know, that's great because then we won't have dead air. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks so much.
Ta-da. Ba-da!
Dude, Morgan, thank you for staying for 2 hours.
Did you turn the mics off?
and all will come.
Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Andrea. This is Sass and Brass. It's been a quick hiatus due to work things and life things, but it is so lovely to be back. I hope the groove is actually in your heart as it is in mine. If not, that's a problem. You need to think about it, look into the mirror, and reflect. Today's episode about reflection, perspective, looking back. Whether it be, you know, advertising choices or what you did with your heart, that's what today's episode is all about. Let's keep moving forward. You're listening to D-Light.
Playing cards, solitaire. Who was playing in my house?
trouble.
The Lord.
know the name of that song, who it was from, which album, what time period, Fleetwood Mac people. So silly, I actually started to just connect with this band. But yeah, absolutely beautiful, and this song is all about introspection, looking back, having a point of reference in your life. Recently, it was brought to my attention that someone who I used to think was absolutely intimidating on many different levels, and then I actually had the pleasure of meeting in person, passed away. This person was walking around town, downtown San Francisco, with their mother, where they were struck and unfortunately killed by a motor vehicle. They're no longer with us, and it's really a shame to know about this person and meet them only briefly in passing, but actually having a fantastic time with them when I met them and knowing that they're no longer going to be with us. And I'm actually looking back at that point of reference. All the stress and anxiety I put into this one person that, you know, never should have existed, and just flowing, I could have just flowed with the situation and enjoyed their company, but I was intimidated by them. I was jealous of how successful and amazing they were. And then upon meeting them, you just kind of realize that they're like a wholesome, good-hearted person that, you know, should be successful and should get the world. And now that they're unfortunately no longer with us, I'm almost filled with a little bit of regret for putting anxiety into a situation where it could have been an opportunity. So that song's really resonating with me on a deeper level. With that being said, today's theme is about reference, introspection, and looking back. My name's Andrea. I'm your host. This is Sass and Brass. We're going to get to the brass part eventually. We'll get there. Maybe some sass sprinkled in between, but until then, hang in.